All right, so we'll say good morning. So today's daf, but we stopped off. We ended on Kof Mem Dalet Amud Beis. So she said she'd pick up again. Six lines up from the bottom. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Sochet Adam Eshkol Shalan Novim Soch HaKedera. A person could squeeze a cluster of grapes into a pot of food. Avalol Soch HaKedera, but not into a bowl. So remember, again, we mentioned yesterday that according to Shmuel, what's happening, Gemara is introducing us to a new concept. That if you're Sochet L'toch Ochel, right, if a person squeezes, let's say, juices from a fruit into food, that those juices have the status of food, not the status of a liquid, and therefore the squeezing will not be subject to the prohibition of dosh, to the prohibition of threshing. So therefore Shmuel says, if you want to go ahead and squeeze the grapes into a pot of food, that's fine, but you cannot squeeze the grapes into a bowl. Because into a bowl, again, it still could be possible that a person is squeezing it for the liquids, and therefore that would be asur. So Gemara says the following, Rav Chista says, from the words of our Rebbe, we could learn, Cholev Adam L'soch HaKedera. A person can milk an animal into a pot of food. So now, well, I need milk as an ingredient for my food. I could go and now remember, milking an animal on Shabbos, leaving aside, you have to sometimes milk the animal off Shabbos just because of the pain of the animal. Leaving that aside, we'll get into that sugya also, is that that's dosh also, right? Going ahead and extracting liquid. In that sense, so a person could go ahead and milk an animal on Shabbos into a kedera, because again, it's not considered dosh if the liquid has the status of ochlin, but not into a bowl. Alma kasaver, therefore he holds, mashke habala ochel, ochelhu. That when liquid is put onto a, or when liquid is squeezed onto a food, the liquid has the status of the food. So the Gemara says the following. If you have a zov, right? So remember, a zov is a person who's tummy because of zivus, because of some type of emission. So a zov who is milking a goat, hachol of tummy, the milk is tummy. Rashi says the following. Rashi says hachol of tummy, shazov metame kol davar b'masa. So again, the reason for that is, since the zav is handling the udder, right, it's as if, so to speak, he's carrying the milk, and therefore halacha l'maaseh, he's going ahead and the milk is tameh. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. Now, what's interesting, what Rashi points out over here is, the Braisa does not in any way qualify this particular statement, right? It doesn't say, whatever you're doing with the milk, halacha l'maaseh, the milk is still tameh. So the Gemara says, "V'i amrit mashke habala ochlin ochelhu." If you say that when liquid is squeezed onto a solid or into food, that it has the status of food, so the Gemara says, "B'mayis kasher." Then what was it hochshar with? I will say it's very interesting. So let's say, for argument's sake, that the zov is squeezing this milk onto his cereal. So now, what? Nothing like fresh milk on the cereal. So now, what happens? So we'll say like this. If you accept the idea that mashkin habala ochlin, that when you squeeze liquid onto a solid, it has the status of a solid. If that's the case, in order for a solid to be mekabel tuma, it has to be hochshul tuma, which means it has to come in contact with another liquid. If that's the case, how can the milk become tame? Because it's never become hochshul tuma. To which the Gemara says, "Kida Amar Rav Yochanan betipa hamiluchleches api adat." We're talking about the fact that usually on the udder of the goat, on the udder of the cow, there is milk. There's like a non-drinkable milk that's going to be smeared on the udder. So because of that, it is that tipa of milk that is machshir, the flow of milk that comes out. Hachanami, betipa miluchleches al pi adad. Okay? Massive Ravina. Ravina raises a kasha. Tommy Mace. Choked up with these Gemaras. All right. Tummy Mace. It's a joke. Of crowd this morning. Okay. Tummy Mace. Shesachat Azaisim Ba'anavim. Somebody was Tummy Mace. And he went ahead and he squeezed olives and grapes. Top of Kof Memhe. So the Gemara says, this is actually a very interesting case. Kaveitza Mechubenes Tahor. Now here's what's interesting. If the grape or the olive was exactly the size of a Beitza, then it's Tahor. then it's tahor. Now look at Rashi for just a moment. Kaveitz and Michal ben as tahor. Mishnei b'maseches taros u'mefarish labehja u'mevach lo yikam b'mashke she'ino noge ela b'ochel. V'cheivan de beitz and Michal ben asu v'chisochit tipa kamaisa chaser lo mikaveitza v'ein ha'ochel af api shutame metame ha'mashke she'ein ochel metame acherim. This is very interesting. So if you have an olive or a grape that is exactly the size of a beitza, and now when you go ahead and let's say the zav squeezes it, that's how he makes in this case, squeezes it. So now what happens with Rabosa is that the shear for Tumas Ochling is a kibetza. So the moment that you press it, it becomes pachos mikabetza, which means that it doesn't have the ability to convey tuma anymore. So mechubena star. Hayosim mikabeitza tomei vi'i amrit mashke habala ochel ochel hu. And if you want to say that liquid that goes onto a salad is considered like a salad, then ma'is kasher. So if that's the case, then what will the liquids that come from this grape or this olive become hosher with? Mahu mosiv la, mahu mefarik la. He asks the question, he answers it. Besochet l'soch ha'ki'ara. In Achinami, we're talking about in that case of a situation of where you're squeezing the juices into a ka'ara, into a bowl. And in that case also, we said before, that halacha l'maaseh into the bowl, it's still not clear that it's going to be used for ochlin, and therefore it still is the status of liquid. Rabbi Yirmiyah ketanoi. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, this whole discussion is a machlokes tanoi. What is it? Rashi says, ketanoi, mashke abala ochel ochelu o mashkehu. So we also have this whole discussion in general about whether or not when you squeeze liquids onto a food, do those liquids have the status of a mashke, or do those liquids have the status of an ochel? Is a machlokes tanoi. So the Gemara says the following: Ketanoi, hamachlik ba'anovim lo hochsher. So the Rashi says machlik ba'anovim. That's an interesting case. Nachtum hamachlik pnei karosa ba'anovim shesochet mashke kikar. So I guess, you know, today we do this with eggs. No, maybe they still do with fruit juice, where people would smear like grape juice on the loaf of a bread to give it a shine. So let's say a person went ahead and smeared some of the grape juice onto the loaf of bread. Hamachlik ba'anovim, lo hochsher. The loaf is not considered to be hochsher l'tumah. Okay, we'll say what that's saying is, even though now the loaf of bread has come in contact with liquid, with the grape juice to shmir on top of the shine, it's not hochsher l'tumah. Rabbi Yehuda omer hochsher. Rabbi Yehuda says it's hochsher. So the Gemara says, my love, b'hakam iflagi, what are they arguing about? So it would appear, or I should say differently, are they not arguing about the following case? Mar sabar mash kabala ochel ochel. One opinion says that, according to one opinion, when liquid is squeezed onto a food, it has the status of food. So we said, therefore, when you squeeze the grape juice onto the loaves of bread, that does not have the status of juice. It has the status of a solid, and therefore what? And therefore halacha l'maisa. Therefore, the loaf is not mekabel tuma, because you don't view it as if the loaf has actually come into contact with the liquid. Umar sabar lav ochelu. And the other opinion says, no, it's not an ochel, it's still a mashke, and therefore the loaf is mekabel tuma. Amarav papa, dechuli alma mashke aval the ochel lav ochelu. So Papa says, maybe not. Maybe, in fact, everyone holds that in general, when a mashke comes in contact with an ochel, it's not ochel. Aye, so what's the case here? The hacha b'mashke habali ibud kamiflegi. What are we talking about over here? The machlokis over here is mashke that is bali ibud. Bali ibud means that it's going to be lost. It's going to be lost. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Duchuli alma mashke bala ochalav ochalu ela mashkehu. Bahinu time in demand the amar lo hushur shematchila nischat adaited the ozali ibud shahor shoavo v'sarfo. So here's what's interesting. This grape juice is not going to endure. What happens to this grape juice? It spends a little bit of time on top of the loaf, and then the moment that it's put into the oven, what occurs? It evaporates. So therefore, the Gemara says, the shaila is, what happens? What's the status of liquids that are hochem li'ibud? Mar savar mashkehu. One opinion says that even though it's going to go li'ibud, it's still a mashke. Umar savar lad mashkehu. And the other opinion holds that it's not a mashke. Ube plukta dahani tanoi. And the truth is, this machlokes is another machlokes tanoi. This anyo. We're splitting down into something very interesting. We started out with one machlokes, which was about that when you squeeze fruits from their liquid, but the liquid is going to be used as part of a salad. So do the liquids have the status of a liquid or a salad? Okay. Now we've tried to bring a machlokas that we thought supported that, but that machlokas actually opened up another door, which is the machlokas of the status of liquids that are holch in the ibud. Now the Gemara says, oh, once we're talking about that, let me tell you about machlokas related to that. Hamifatseya bezesim biyadim misu avos. If a person is mifatseya bezesim, look at Rashi, mifatseya bezesim, blatsyar kadeshiu rakin. So what they would do is they would often go ahead and, I think the technical term is bruise, right? You would bruise olives in order to go ahead and soften them and actually sweeten them. Apparently, when you bruise an olive and the liquid begins to ooze out, that sweetens the olive as well. So mifatseya bezesim biyadim misu avos. Let's say a person bruises the olives with yadai misu avos, literally means dirty hands. But in this case, it doesn't actually mean dirty, it actually means tame hands. Hochsher. Then halacha lemaisa, the olives themselves are hochsher. Because once, remember, if you bruise it, the liquid comes out, and I'm bruising it now with hands that are tame. So ultimately, the olives are hochsher l'tzuma. So the Gemara says, l'sofsan b'melach, if halacha lemaisa, you're doing it in order to dip it in salt, lo hochsher. Then halacha lemaisa, meaning if the only reason I'm bruising it is not to dip it in salt, what does that mean? That I want the salt to stick to the olive. The problem is when the olive is unbruised, the salt doesn't stick to it. When I bruise it and the liquid begins to ooze out, then the salt sticks to it. So then halacha lemaisa, lo hochsher. It's not hochsher. So look at Rashi. Rashi says hochsher. The necha le b'mishchav the tayif alayu shemitoch kachei marvin tam. So in the first case when I'm bruising it, so I want the liquid. Because I want liquid, it's hochshul tumah. In the second case, when I'm going ahead and I'm salting it, then it's not hochshul. Why? Because halacha lemaisa, I don't really want the liquid. What I want is just the olive to be wet so that the salt will stick to it. Leida im higia, I'm sorry, excuse me. Hochshul, l'sof sam halach, no hochshul. I'm sorry. To dip it in salt, lo hochshul. Leida im higia zeisav limsok im lav lo hochsher. If you want to see if it's time for the olive limsok to go ahead and be squeezed, then halach lemaisa lo hochsher. Rabbi Huda Omer hochsher. Rabbi Huda says in all of these cases halach lemaisa is hochsher. Look at Rashi. Leida im higia zeisav limsok tzarichu liros im shomdom noach lotzeis. So sometimes you have to squeeze the olive just to see. Is the oil ready to come out? But again, you don't really use the oil for anything. So I will say again, in case number one, where I wanted to bruise the olive, hochshlotuma. Case number two, to tip it in melach, not hochshlotuma. Case number three, to know if it's ready to be squeezed, not hochshlotuma. Rabbi Huda says, hochshlotuma. Rabbi Huda seems to say that halacha lemaisa in these cases, hochshlotuma. My love, b'hakamitligi, what are they arguing about? One opinion holds that liquid that is ultimately going to be lost is considered to be a mashke. Right? I will say again, especially case number two and three, halacha lemaisa, the liquid is not going to be used at all. It's hochel leibud. Umar savar lav mashkehu. And the other opinion says, no, it's not a mashke. Amar Rav Huda b'Rei Rav Yoshua, hani tanoi b'mashke omid leibud pligi. So Rav Huda b'Rei Rav Yoshua says something very interesting. There's actually two different machlokes tanaim going on over here. These tanaim are arguing about mashke omid liibud, when the liquid itself is not going to be used or collected, but it's going to just simply be lost. And these tanaim are arguing about mashke omid letzachtzecho, about a liquid that could be used for shmirin purposes. So look at Rashi for just a moment. Actually, we'll see the Gemara. Amrav Zera, Amrav Kibar Ashi, Amrav. Sochet Adam Eshkol Shal Anavim Lusocha Kedera, Abalo Lusocha Kiara. Thank you. A person could go ahead and squeeze a cluster of grapes. Squeeze a cluster of grapes. Right, into a pot of food, but not into a bowl. Okay, as the Rambam says, that's the same chiluk we've been making until now. Into the pot of food would be pashtus pi because that's the status of food, as opposed to into the bowl where it could still retain its identity as a liquid. V'dag litziro, but to go ahead and squeeze a fish for its brine, afilu l'sochaki ora, is okay to even squeeze even into a bowl. Look at Rashi, v'dag l'tziro, schitas dag l'hotzi tziro, lav mashku ela ochlim. So apparently, again, everyone will agree that the brine of a fish, right, the brine of the fish has the doesn't have the status of a liquid, rather has the status of fish, and therefore one could even squeeze that out into a bowl. So the Gemara says, Yosef Rav Dimi v'ka'amar la l'hashmaisa. Rav Dimi was sitting and saying over this particular ruling. Amar le Abaye Rav Dimi, Abaye said to Rav Dimi, Asun mishmei derav masnisun v'lo kashi l'chu. You relate to this ruling in the name of Rav, and therefore it does not pose the kasha for anything else that's been said beforehand. Ana mishmei deshmuel masnina le v'kashi alon. We, however, relate this in the name of Shmuel, and it poses a problem. Mi Amar Shmuel dag letziro afid lo socha ki ara. After all, did Shmuel actually say that a fish can be squeezed into a that the fish can be squeezed for its brine even into a bowl? V'ha itzmar, but we learn kvashim shesachdan. So we'll say kvashim are pickled items. Rashi says over here kvashim yerek chai kavush b'yayin mechometz. So a raw vegetable that was pickled, right? Kavush literally means soaked. But in this case over here, the fact that it's talking about yayin mechometz means it was pickled. So if you have a pickled item, shesachdan, that you squeezed out the juice, Rav Amar Rav says, ligufan mutter. If the reason you're squeezing out the juice is for the vegetable itself, you want to get rid of the liquid from the vegetable, then halach l'maaseh, that's mutter. However, l'mei mehen, look at Rashi just a moment, l'guvo, im le'chol ha'kvashim, if your goal is just to eat the pickled vegetables, sochtam l'mashkin ha'tzapalein ba'nivla ben mutter l'chadchi l'dilo mefariku, hoiv lav l'mashku tzara. So we'll say, since again, the only reason I'm squeezing it out is for the actual vegetable itself, it's totally mutter. L'mei mehen, however, again, if I want the juices, potr aval osr. We'll say it's actually very interesting. Pater aval asr means what? It's asr midrabanan. Look at Rashi. Pater she'ein demefarek she'ein hamashka zeh yotim min akvashim shlogad lo besochon aval asr atu zeisim ba'anav. So it's very interesting. Why is this not real schita? Because real schita dash refers to liquid that is naturally found within the object. Since the liquid over here was inserted through the pickling process, therefore me'ikar adin is really mutter. The only reason we're going to say you can't do it is because we're nervous that if we allied it to this, you may come to zeisim ba'anavim. Ushlakos, shlakos are cooked vegetables. Bein legufan, bein lememehen, mutter. Whether you want to go ahead and squeeze the liquid out for the benefit of the vegetable, or even if you actually want the liquid, it is mutter. It is mutter. Look at Rashi. Potter, Rashi used the lashon of. No, I'm sorry, that's actually read before. Shmuel said, Echad kivashim ve'echad shlakos. Shmuel says that whether it comes to pickled vegetables or cooked vegetables, ligufan, if I'm squeezing out the liquid for the benefit of the food item, mutter, lememehen, but for the liquids, potter ava aser. So we'll say again, here you have Shmuel on record as saying again that halacha lemaisa, anytime you're squeezing something out for the purpose of its liquid, then at least it's going to be an issur d'rabbanan, which means going back then, that according to Shmuel, the dag letziro case would not work, that even squeezing the fish for its prime, although midarais is certainly mutter, midrabbanan will still be aser.
I think you shouldn't say that it's for its brine, because if it's for its brine, that means its brine is like a pickled stuff. It's a fish for its own juices. Brine is a salty mixture used for pickling. So
I think it's called fish brine, the stuff that's inside the fish.
It's whatever it is. It's from the fish itself. It's not from any outside source.
Right. Fisherman Union? Right. The fish juices. The fish juices. So. Good. Right. Good. Amrlei Elokim. Amrlei. Hi Elokim. By God, eini ra'u v'lo zar. So it's interesting because the pasuk from Eov, right? Eini ra'u v'lo zar. My eyes have seen it, and not a stranger. So what does this mean? Mipumei drabi Yirmiyah shameli. I heard this statement from Rabbi Yirmiyah. But Rabbi Yirmiya amir Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Yirmiya heard from Zera. Rabbi Zera amir Rav Chiya bar Rav Ashi. Rav Chiya bar Ashi may Rav. So ultimately, look at Rashi for just a moment. Eini ra'u velo zar. So now he responds, well, nothing to worry about, because this statement was not said in the name of Shmuel. It was said in the name of Rav. And how do I know that? Because essentially I got it from my Rebbe, who got it from his Rebbe, who got it from his Rebbe, who ultimately got it from Rav. So don't worry about conflicting statements of Shmuel, because the Daglet Seer is not Shmuel at all. Kufa. Kvashim shesach. So we'll say, now that the Gemara brought up the case of the vegetables, the Gemara is going to go back and discuss it again. Kvashim shesachtan. So if you have, again, the kvashim is the pickled vegetables that now you're squeezing. Amar Rav, so Rav said, begufan mutter, lememehen patav alasar. If you're squeezing out the vegetables for the benefit of the vegetables, then it's mutter. But if you're squeezing it out for the liquid, then it's patra aval asar. Ushlakos, when it comes to the cooked vegetables, bein legufan, bein lememehen. Whether you are doing it again, now shakos, cooked vegetables, whether you're squeezing it out for the benefit of the vegetable or for the liquid, mutter. That's statement of Rav. So Rav is mechalik with shlokos and with shlokos and kvashim. Ushmuel or Shmuel says, echodze veechodze, one halacha. There is one halacha for all food items that have liquid inside of them because of either some type of, we'll call it some type of cooking process. Because remember, we'll say in halacha, kavush is kimavushal. In halacha, a pickling process also has the status of a cooking process. So Shmuel says, echadze ve'echadze, both kvashim as well as shlakim, ligufan mutter. If you're squeezing out the liquid, for the benefit of the vegetable, it's mutter. Lememehen, however, for the liquids, pater aval asa asa medirabonon. Rabbi Yochanan says, echad kvashim ve'echad shlakos, whether you're dealing with pickled vegetables, cooked vegetables, ligufan mutter. If you are squeezing it out for themselves, then it is mutter. Lememehen chayiv chatos. So Rabbi Yochanan comes along and Mamish says that, again, if you're squeezing out the liquids for the vegetable itself, it's mutter. But if you're doing it for the liquid, isr doraiso. Chayiv chatos. Chayiv chatos. Meisei, vezikasha, sochtin kavashim v'shabis, letzorech ha-shabis. You can squeeze out pickled vegetables from their liquid on Shabbos for the sake of Shabbos. Abalo lematzah Shabbos, but you may not squeeze vegetables on Shabbos for matzah Shabbos. V'zeisim va'anavim, however, when it comes to olives and grapes, lo yischot, you should not squeeze at all. V'imsochat chayiv chatos, but if you went ahead and you squeezed it, you're chayiv chatos. So the Gemara says, kashi l'rav, kashi l'shmuel. The truth is, this price opposes a kasha, both for Rav and for Shmuel. This essentially everybody's got a problem with this braisa. So Gemara says the following: Rav metaris latame, Shmuel metaris latame, Rabbi Yochanan metaris latame. So we'll say, get ready. So now everybody is going to interpret this braisa to be in accordance with their opinion. Rav metaris latame, Rav explains it according to his reasoning. Sochatin kvashim b'shabbes. What does it mean when it says that you can go ahead and squeeze pickled vegetables on Shabbos or Shabbos? When is that true? Ligufan. That's true when you're squeezing the vegetable for the sake of the vegetable, for the purpose of the vegetable. However, but for the liquids, if you do it, but if you want the liquids, it's just midrabanon. Ushlakos have with cooked vegetables, mutar. But for cooked vegetables, no matter why you're squeezing the liquid out, it's mutar. When it comes to olives and grapes, lo yischot, you can't squeeze it all. But if you squeeze grapes and olives, you're chayiv midoraisa. So Rav has successfully interpreted the braisa to reflect his opinion. Shmuel goes according to his reasoning. Shmuel explains the braisa according to his reasoning. You can go ahead and squeeze pickled vegetables on Shabbos for the purpose of Shabbos. And that's true for cooked vegetables as well. The Mezram, when is that true? The Gufan, for when you want the vegetable itself, meaning you're squeezing out the liquid for the purpose of the benefit of the vegetable. But if you want the liquid, it also midrabanon. But you can't squeeze grapes and olives at all. If you did say chayiv midoraisa, Rabbi Yochanan explains the brayso according to his logic. Sochtin kivashim l'tzorech haShabbos. You can go ahead and squeeze cooked vegetables for the purpose of Shabbos. Avalo l'matzei Shabbos. But you can't do it on Shabbos for matzei Shabbos. Echad kivashim ve'echad shlokos. that applies to cooked vegetables, pickled vegetables and cooked vegetables. But that is our moment. When is that true? Ligufan. For the benefit of the vegetable. That's when you could do it. But if you want the actual liquid, lo yischok, you may not go ahead and squeeze the vegetable. V'msachat, and if you did so, na'ase kemisha sachat zeisim ve'anavim, if you squeezed even pickled vegetables or cooked vegetables for the purposes of their liquid, we want the liquid of Yochanan Tainas, that's what? That it says, if you squeezed olives and grapes, v'chayiv chatos, you'll actually be chayiv midoraisa. So we'll say everybody successfully interprets the braisa to reflect their particular opinion. Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Devar Torah, Eino Chayiv Ela Al Drisas Zeisim Ve'anovim Bilvad. So it comes along, Rabbi, and says, Devar Torah, look at Rashi. Devar Torah, Kilomar Asra Torah Melocha, Udrichas Zeisim Ve'anovim Hu, Tehavi Melocha. Ava Shar Drichos Lav Or Chayo Behochi, Ve'lav Melocha. So this is Halocha Lemaisa, Rav Paskins, that Lemaisa, the only things for which you are Chayiv, for Schita, for Dash Midoraisa, are Zeisim Ve'anovim. Everything else we'll see will be in a Sidrabanon, but the only Doraisa things will be on olives and grapes. V'chintani debei Menashe, Tvar Torah, Eino Chayiv Ela Adrisas Zeisim Ve'anovim Bilvad. You're only Chayiv Midoraisa, again, on the pressing of grapes and olives. So just for this sugya, you should just know that we paskin like Shmuel, that in the previous case of Shlakos, that we treat the pickled vegetables and the cooked vegetables the same. That namely, if you're squeezing out the liquid for the benefit of the vegetable, it's mutter. But if you're squeezing out the liquid because you want the liquid, it's aser midrabanan. The reason it's only aser midrabanan because we paskin like this statement of Rav, that the only thing that you're chayiv for squeezing out on Shabbos is zeisim ve'anavim. The ain't eight we pay eight.
Squeezing.
No. Squeezing literally means squeezing.
Really correct.
The ain't aid me p8 kosher. Most of it. Ain't aid me p8 kosher. Now, once the Gemara quotes this, the Gemara is yet to understand. The Tana de Ben Menashe was not just quoting one halacha. He was quoting this halacha on Drisa Zeisim Ve'anavim, but he also included a number of other halachos as well. The ain't aid me p8 kosher. I will say aid me p8 means like this. Let's say I don't witness something. I don't witness a particular event, but I heard testimony from someone who did see the event. Aid me p8. So we'll call it, Reuven saw the event, and I heard from Reuven his testimony about the event. And now I bless you. Now I want to go ahead and retell what it is that I heard from Reuven. Aid me p8. So we'll see. The ain't aid me p8 kosher. An aid me p8 is only effective. Ela on the base, le edos isha bilvad. Edos isha means what? Take a look at Rashi. Edos isha, lomar le isha meis ba'alech. So I'll say essentially, edos isha means edos for a woman. What does it mean, edos for a woman? So Rashi points out over here to tell a woman that her husband died. Da'akilu barabanan mishum iguna, v'chod mekadesh adaita di rabanan mekadesh. V'afkiu rabanan lekidushim. So it's very interesting. That halacha maisa, we know, one of the areas where the rabbis relaxed the standards of edos in an incredible fashion is to testify for a woman that her husband died. Right? Meaning, let's say you have a situation where, often you have these aguna-type cases. The husband went overseas. We don't know what happened to him. You could have a woman who remains in aguna for who knows how long. So Chazal went ahead and relaxed the standards for edos and said that even one witness could come along and testify that the woman's husband died. The reason we also did that is because there's an assumption that the woman will corroborate the veracity of the edos because she has a lot riding on this. In the event, God forbid, that the aid is wrong and she gets remarried based on the testimony of the aid, it could have disastrous consequences. So we're suggesting over here that not only will one witness be believed for this, but what? Even aid me p8. So meaning Reuven says that he saw that the husband of Sarah died. He tells me that I'm now the aid me p8. I show up in Beis Din and say, Reuven told me that he saw the husband of Sarah die. We would literally allow Sarah to go ahead and remarry based on that. Iboy lehu. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says Kasha. Aid me pi aid la edus b'chor ma'u. What is aid? Does aid me pi aid work for edus b'chor? I'm also saying, what is edus b'chor? Look at Rashi, second wide line. Rashi says, edus b'chor. B'chor biyad kohen, kishenasnu yisra lo shalein, v'ira lo bo mo. So this is actually very interesting. So let's say again, I give the b'chor animal to the kohen, and what happens? And now a mum developed in it. Here's what's interesting. Remember, if the Kohen has a Bechor animal that gets a mum, the Kohen can do whatever he wants with the animal. Right? There's no code attached to the animal. So what's interesting is the Kohen is not believed to say that the animal developed a mum on its own. Why? Because the Kohen has a financial interest in the animal developing a mum. No offense, Kohanim, I'm sorry, right? But, so therefore you need outside edus that indeed the mum developed on its own. And therefore again, so the question is, does aid me pi aid work for Bechor? Rav Ami Asir, Rav Asi Shari. Rav Ami said no, Rav Asi said yes. Amri Rav Ami, Rav Asi, Vahotan Adve Minashia. Ein aid me pi aid kosher elele edus isha bilvad. But we learned before that what aid me pi aid is only good for edus isha. So obviously the Bryce explicitly says aid me pi aid only works in one specific case to allow a woman to remarry. That's it. So ema, no, that don't read ele edus isha. Ema le edus sha isha ksheru la bilvad. Say that no, any case in which a woman could testify, aid me pi aid could also testify. And since a woman could testify about Bechor, she should believe to testify here as well. Rav Yemar achsher aid me pi aid le Bechor. Rav Yemar allowed an aid me pi aid to testify in the case of Bechor. Kari Ali Mereimar. Mereimar used to call him Yemar. Kari Ali Mereimar. So Mereimar used to. Okay, it's a little bit confusing. Mereimar used to say about Rav Yemar. Right, no relation. Right, Rav Yemar was the one who allowed aid me pi aid in Bechor, and Rav Yemar used to say about Mereimar used to say about Rav Yemar, Yemar Shari Bukhra. Yemar, the firstborn permitter. I guess that's a Talmudic shtach, right? Yemar Shari Bukhra, the one who's always permitting all the Bechors. Ve'ochasa, aid me pi aid kash le Bechor. And halacha lemaisa, aid me pi aid, in fact, is good, is accepted by Edus Bechor. Chalos Dvash. So we'll say, if you remember again, the Mishnah spoke about chalos tavash, the honeycombs, right? That if you have the honeycombs that were crushed or that were cut up on Erev Shabbos, the yotzo me'atzman, and now the honey flows out on its own on Shabbos. The Tanakhama said aser, Rabbi Eliezer said mutter. So says the Gemara ki aser roshe menardo. When Rav Hoshea came from Narda, he came with this brisa in his hand. If you have olives and grapes that were crushed on Erev Shabbos, and therefore the juices ooze out on Shabbos, asurin, the juices are asur. Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Shimon Matirin. Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter. Amar Rabbi Yosef. Gavra Yisera Asalashma Inon. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef says, why did you bring this to us? Meaning, Rabbi Yosef, we already have this machlokis in the Mishnah. What exactly does this brisa contribute? Amrli Abaye, Tuva Kamashma teaches us a lot. Deim Masnisin Hava Amina Hasamhu, Dimeikara Ukhla Lubasov Ukhla. The reason is because in the previous case, right, if not for, just for the Mishnah, I might have said the following. In the beginning it's Ochel, and in the end it's Ochel, right, because remember, because remember in the case of the honeycomb, the honey is Ochel, the comb is Ochel, the honeycomb is Ochel. To make kara ulubasof ochlo, aval hocha to make kara ochlo ulubasof mashka emalo. But maybe in this case over here, in the beginning it's ochel, and in the end it's just mashka. Maybe not. Kamash malon, that's not the case. So also, what comes out from this sugi is the following: mid d'oraisa, the iser is to go ahead and crush zaysim ba'anovi. That's the d'oraisa. Everything else that a person wants to go ahead and squeeze will be an iser dirabanan. Mashkin shezavun me'atzman, if the juices flow out on their own, then halacha lemaisa that will be mutter on Shabbos. Same thing with the honeycombs. If the honeycombs were crushed on Erev Shabbos and the juices and the honey flows out, that honey will be permitted for consumption on Shabbos as well. Says the Mishnah. Kol sheba b'chamin me'erev Shabbos, shoros b'cham Shabbos. So we'll say now we have an important sugya when it comes to bishul. Anything that was literally came in hot water on Erev Shabbos, you could put back into hot water on Shabbos. kavod back in that water on Shabbos. Look at Rashi. Kol sheva bechamin kilura shenis basho. Anything that was cooked on Erev Shabbos can be exposed to heat again on Shabbos itself. V'chol shaloba bechamin Erev Shabbos. Whatever was not cooked on Erev Shabbos. So the halacha is. You can go ahead and rinse it with hot water on Shabbos. So what that means is, well, we'll see what it means in the Gemara, but the idea is you will not be permitted to go ahead and put it back in. Shorin means immerse. Say if it was fully cooked on Erev Shabbos, you could literally immerse it again in hot water on Shabbos, but if it was not cooked on Erev Shabbos, you could rinse it with hot water on Shabbos. Chutz min hamaliach. With the exception of old salted foods, the dagim malachim kitamuluchim kitanim, or small salted fish, the kulyos ha'ispanin, or Spanish mackerel. Why? Shadachasin zoi gimar malachton. Because all of these things will fall into a category that's called kali abishal, items that are very easily cooked, and halacha l'maisa can be cooked even with just a little bit of a pouring of hot water. Okay, so the klal in the Mishnah is that essentially ein bishal achar bishal. Once the food has been cooked on Erev Shabbos, you could go ahead and put it back in the hot water on Shabbos, and it won't cook again. But if it hasn't been cooked, you could rinse it with hot water, but you can't immerse it in hot water, except for things that are easily cooked and could even be cooked with the rinsing of hot water. Says the Gemara, kigon mai. Rashi says, So the Gemara asks, what is an example of this idea that if it was cooked on Erev Shabbos, so you could put in hot water on Shabbos itself? Like the chicken dish of Rabbi Abba. Look at Rashi. Tarnagol said Rabbi Abba, Mevashla v'shora osa yamim rabim v'chamin. So apparently this chicken dish of Rabbi Abba was cooked for many days to the point that the chicken mamish dissolved into this mixture. So the idea is if this was cooked before Shabbos, you could cook it again on Shabbos itself. Amar Rav Safra, Zimna Chado Iklis Lahasam. So listen to this. So Rav Safra said, one time I went there, it's Rabbi Abba, V'ochlan Minei, right, V'ochlan Minei, and I ate from it. The ilo Rabbi Abba the Ashkin Chamra Bartlosa Tarfi, and were it not for the fact that Rabbi Abba gave me some good 3-year-old wine, is nasi, I would have thrown up. Which is another thing that dish was not very good. Now I will say again, in Rabbi Abba's defense, remember, Rashi clearly indicates this was eaten for refuah. Rabbi Yochanan Rayuk Mikusach the Bavli. So Rabbi Yochanan Rayuk, Rashi says, was Rokek Mikusach the Bavli Kishazok Rosh Haya Maus Beinov. So Rabbi Yochanan would spit whenever he would mention Babylonian Kusach. So remember again, Babylonian Kusach, he spoke about this, was this dish that was made of moldy bread and curdled milk. So Rabbi Yochanan would spit in disgust anytime he even mentioned Kusach Bavli. Amar Rav Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef says, well, you know what? V'leiruk anan mitarnagolsa de Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Yosef says, listen, if you're going to disrespect Babylonian Kusach, Rabbi Yosef says, we could also spit about, we being the Jews of Babylonia, could also spit about Rabbi Abba's chicken dish. V'od Amarav Gaza, Zimna Chado, Iklois Lahasam, V'avdis Kusach de Babli. Furthermore, it said that one time he went there and they made him kusach bavli sheilumine kol berichi ma'arava. Look at Rashi over here. Rashi says, "Va'odah amar of Gaza v'shalumine osa kusach." Brichi is cholin. So listen to this. So one time Rav Gaza went there, and he made him kusach bavli, and he said, v'shalumine kol brichi ma'arava. And he said, literally, this should be fed to all of the sick people in Eretz Yisrael. Alright. Kol shalabah b'cham. So we'll say again, they had different culinary expectations in Babel and Eretz Yisrael. Alright. Hidiach mai, kol shalabah b'cham. We'll say that actually. Alright, we'll do one more line. Kol shalabah b'cham. Hidiach mai. So here the Gemara asks a very interesting question. So what happens if halacha l'maisa if halacha lemaisa, you went at the brisa. The Mishnah says that if kol shlo ba becham b'erev Shabbos, if you do not cook it on erev Shabbos, so then halacha lemaisa you could be madiach. But what happens if you actually madiach certain types of items? Hidiach mai, hadiach means a rinsing with hot water. Rav Yosef hidiach chayiv chatos. If you are madiach, you're chayiv chatos. Look at Rashi. Rashi says chayiv chatos tavi bishul because it's considered to be cooking. Amar Rav Yosef hidiach chayiv chatos. Amar Mar Breid Rabina. Af anan nami tenena. We also learned chutz mimaliach yashan. You could go ahead and you could rinse uncooked foods with hot water, with the exception of old salted foods. Pekulyasa ispanin or Spanish mackerel. Shadachasan zuhi gemar melachtan, because the rinsing off is in and of itself bishul. Shmamina Yosef Rabbi Chia bar Abba Rabbi Asi kamed Rabbi Yochanan. V'yosef Rabbi Yochanan v'kamen namnim. Rabbi Yosef namnim also means like daydreaming. Why are the birds in Bavel fat? Right, I'll take you to the desert of Aza and Eretz Yisrael, and I'll show you even fatter birds. Why are the Yomim Tovim in Bavel more joyous than in Eretz Yisrael? Because in Bavel the Jews are poor. So because they're poor, they don't really have simcha every day. They only have simcha on Yom Tov, and therefore the simcha on Yom Tov in Bavel is more acute than Eretz Yisrael. Why are the Tamid Dicham in Bavel Mitzuyanin? Rabosh, this is actually very interesting. Look at Rashi, Mitzuyanin Mikushatin. Why are the Tamid Dicham in Bavel finely dressed? Right, they dress very well. Lefi she'inan b'nei Torah. Okay, because they're not b'nei Torah. Ma ovdei kochavim mizuhamim. Why are ovdei kochavim, right? Mizuhamim, not mizuhamim, could either mean like having an odor, but in this case, you actually points out it usually means mitzmeim. Mipnei she'ochlim shkatzim v'ramosim. Because they eat impure things. Iter b'hu Rabbi Yochanan. Most remember how the story started out. Rabbi Yochanan was daydreaming in the midst of this. He wakes up. Amar lehu dardiki. Children, have I not told you? Amarti lachem. Emar lachachma achosiat. Tell wisdom, you are my sister. Imbar lecha hadavar ke achoscha. Sheasru lecha. Omru, if something is as clear to you as the fact that your sister is usher to you, then say it. Ve'im lav, lo tomru, and if not, don't say it. It's a nice way of Rabbi Yochanan saying, you guys are wrong. Right? He said, don't talk about things that you don't know. Amulei, ve'le malan mar. So they said, Rabbi, nu, so you tell us. So tell us what we are wrong, correct us. Mipnei ma ofos shebebavel shemeinim. Why are the birds in Bavel fat? Mipnei shelo galu. Because the birds in Bavel were never exiled. Shneamar, shinan moav bin orav, v'shakitu al shomrav, u'begola lo halach. V'hacha, right? V'hacha minalan de galu. So we'll say, so how do we know that the birds of Eretz Yisrael were in fact exiled? The sign of Yehuda Omer, nun beis shanalo avar ish b'Yehuda. For 52 years, no one walked in the area of Yehuda. Shneamar, al har mashabechi b'nei, me'of ha'shamayim, Va'ad behema nadadu. Right, nadadu holchu. Behema begimatria chamshin v'tartin havu. So behema begimatria is 52. So he learns out from there that they weren't even animals. Even the animals were exiled for 52 years. Salocha lemais, he says that's why the birds of Eretz Yisrael are thinner than the birds of Bava because they had golos. Amr Rabbi Yaakov, so Rabbi Yaakov said name Rabbi Yochanan, Kulan Chazru, all the animals went back to Eretz Yisrael, Chutz Mikulios HaEspanin, except for the Spanish mackerel. I guess at one point in time, the Spanish mackerel was indigenous to Eretz Yisrael, alright? The Amr Rav, Hani Midat, I must say not, we'll stop over here. I will pick up right here tomorrow.